started?
We've got about an hour's worth of material to go through. And so we're going to try and every Sunday get started as close to 9 o'clock as possible. So my name is Paul Jordan. I'm going to be teaching spiritual warfare Sunday school class. And we're going to start every class with prayer. It is very important, especially the topic that we're talking about. So I'll pray, and if you want to join me in prayer. Father, we just thank you for this day, and thank you for the rain that we got last night. And Father, thank you for everyone that's come. And I just pray that you would give me the wisdom that I need, and just how to share so that everyone would understand what you want us to know. Father, I thank you that you brought everyone here for a reason, and there's something that you want us to know and to apply to our life today. And Father, I thank you just for how loving you are, and Father, how you give us what we need. So I just pray that this Sunday school time would really glorify you and bring glory to your name. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, we gave you some papers. We're going to kind of start just talking about those papers that you have in front of you. The first one that we're going to look at is kind of like a syllabus for the class. Just kind of an overview on what we're going to be talking about. So you'll be able to see kind of the dates and things like that. The first thing we want to talk about actually is our syllabus. And ultimately the first question is, you know, why should we talk about spiritual warfare? Just interesting question. So what you see in a lot of these slides, I am going to be giving lots of Bible verses and references. So we're not going to have time to look up every single verse, just so you know. But if you see one that says, hey, that may be an interesting verse, I'm going to jot that down, look it up later. Feel free. Okay. Well, really, understanding spiritual warfare, it started all the way in the beginning of time. We're going to look at actually this passage a little bit later this morning, but Satan being created as a perfect angel and had these amazing, beautiful qualities that God created him with, and easily he fell into sin, and then he convinced a third of the angels that he was the good guy and God was the bad guy. They ended up falling as well. So that created this giant war that we are now a part of. So you also see it in the middle with Jesus being on earth. And I'll actually read that verse. That comes from Luke 22:53. And this is Jesus when he's about to go to the cross. He says something very interesting. Because he says to the guards that came to arrest him, he said, when I was with you, day after day in the temple, you did not lay hands on me, but this is your hour and the power of darkness. So here you even see the enemy involved, even at the crucifixion of Jesus, and Jesus saying that this is their time where they're going to get shine and put Jesus to death. Little did they know that once he did die and rise again, Satan was completely defeated at the cross. So the ending, Revelation 20, verse 10, is going to talk about how Satan and all of his demonic spirits with him are going to be cast into the lake of hell at the end times with the final judgment. And also to see, it's a daily battle. That's Ephesians. And it talks about that we're not really struggling against flesh and blood. So pretty simply, you know, my problems are not the people around me. They're not because of really my parents. They're not because of my next door neighbor. They're not because of my boss or my co-workers. But there is this supernatural battle that's going on that wants me to have not a good relationship with my family, with my friends, with my co-workers, and things like that. So that's really a simple verse just to understand. So pretty much the point of this class and the objective is really just to glorify God. That is the goal of why we're doing this class. And what we're going to be doing is we're going to be looking at how the victory was completed in Christ. Okay, so that's why we are going to talk about spiritual warfare. But Satan, demons, occult cultic activity and anything else you can think of, that is not our focus. Our focus is going to be God. Our focus is going to be Jesus, what he's done, and how that does relate to spiritual warfare and as well. Okay, and so 1 Corinthians is a good verse about how we can glorify God in our life. Expectations. So if you have your syllabus, we're going to kind of look over this real quickly. It just kind of gives some course objectives, readings, and I'll explain that a little bit later. The next thing that's kind of important is the dates that we're going to be meeting. So we've got listed on there June 8th, that was last week, 15th, that's today. Okay, then we've got all these other dates. Until we're going to finish the last, it is a central prayer time, August 3rd, but it's going to be just a really short conclusion, wrap-up time. So that's kind of the dates, just so that you understand. Okay, the next thing, there's a website link. If you look on the back of your syllabus, you'll see a QR code. If you don't know what a QR code is, ask your grandkids. Or your kids, they'll tell you what it is. So your parents can scan this code and can send you directly to the website. If you want to do it the old-fashioned way, then you type in that full biblicalrestorationministries.org/central.html and can we go there? Can you go to that website real quick? So I'll give you just a short picture. This is what the website's somewhat going to look like. I'm going to add a lot more extra things. So after every class, I'll put on the PowerPoint presentation as well so that you can access it. In case you wanted to go through it again and review it again. The syllabus on there, you can either open it within the website itself or you can download it as a PDF. All the handouts I will be giving you during the class will be available for you. I'll also have new handouts that, you know, due to class size, and we try to be somewhat conservative in how many trees we kill, I'll kind of just put them on the website so you can access them. Then we'll also do kind of a book that would be recommended for reading that would kind of help understand more of what we've been talking about during that week. And finally, we'll probably put on some videos and also some audios on there as well. So that's kind of an idea of what we are actually going through and what we're doing. So that's the website, and it's accessible by anybody if you wanted to look at things. And we're going to try and record these messages too, so if you miss a Sunday school class and you wanted to see what we talked about, you can get on there and watch it as well. And it's all free, just so you know. So if you expect more money in the plate, no, I'm just kidding. That was all me. Okay. Alright, so just to understand, what we're going to look at is, there's this verse. If you have your Bible, we're going to actually turn there. So 2 Corinthians 5:17. If you don't have your Bible, I did put it up there as well. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Great verse. And a lot of people, when they accept Christ, they hear that verse either through a pastor or in their memory verse packet of verses to memorize. It's usually one of the first ones that we memorize. Okay, and it's just an awesome verse. And this is going to be kind of a key verse as we go through what we're talking about. But really, the question comes up is, here, let's say, Joe. Joe is 30 years old. And he's been just kind of living his life the way he wanted to. Someone comes and shares Christ with Joe. So Joe accepts Christ. Okay. So according to this verse here, verse 17, therefore if anyone, or if Joe, is in Christ, he's a new creation. So he accepted Christ, he's in Christ, he's a new creation. But now Joe is having lots of struggles. And the reason why is because he's had 30 years of wrong programming in his brain. Okay, so pretty much 30 years of viruses kind of going on in his brain. He's learned how to live his life all according to what Joe wanted. Okay, so now he reads this verse, and he says, well, I'm a new creation. How come I still struggle with lust, anger, depression, bitterness, you name it, all these sins, how come those are still a part of me if I'm a new creation? Okay, so that's kind of the question is, where's the clear button in our brain? We don't have one. Okay, and so if I've trained my life, you know, most of your parents said garbage in, garbage out, you know, it still works. So if I've trained my life with a lot of garbage in my life, then what I'm going to be producing is garbage. Okay, so Job turned 30 years old. He became a new creation. Now he can glorify God, but it's always according to God's terms. And we find God's terms in Scripture. And if I'm living according to Scripture, then I will be glorifying God. Okay? So now that he accepted Christ, he gained an enemy. Okay? A real intelligent enemy. We're going to talk about that a little bit later. Okay? And this enemy knows his weaknesses, knows his struggles, brings in accusations, brings in false guilt. And we're going to talk about that. So we don't have a clear button. I wish we did, but we don't have one. So what happened is he spent all these years of his life living pretty much independent of God or his ways. Let me give you an example. Job, 30 years old, had bitterness that he's had since he's maybe 15 or 16. Okay. And when he accepted Christ, we're going to talk about this in another talk, but Jesus forgave him of every sin that he committed. And then Jesus says that his disciples have to also forgive. And most people know that passage, 70 times 7, that's what I'm referring to. Okay, so he is required now to forgive. But yet Joe doesn't know that yet. Okay, so there is a knowledge, but then also applying the knowledge. Because we do biblical counseling at Biblical Restoration Ministries, and you'd be shocked how many people know they're supposed to forgive, but they're not doing it. They don't really want to. Or this person hurt me more than you have any idea, therefore, I don't have to forgive. According to Jesus, you have to forgive. Okay, so we'll be looking at that later, but that gives you just kind of an idea. So don't think that, oh man, all my problems are new, or I must not be a new creation. That's usually the first doubt that Satan will give you, is, oh, I'm not a new creation. If you've accepted Christ as your Savior, you are a new creation. Okay, so now I need to live that out in my life. I need to make better choices. Not the trash, the good stuff. Okay. So what we're going to look at now is just kind of a spiritual reality. So if you have, you should have notes. And it's the most basic of all basic notes. That way you can determine what you want to write down. So it's just got words. Because if it's blanks and all that stuff, then I kind of have to stick with the notes. And that throws me off. just let you know. So the first one we're going to look at is really this concept of a spiritual reality. Okay, idea of spiritual reality is that not only is it very biblical, but our American and Western worldview is it's usually foreign to us. Just because of how we're raised, where we come from, how we're protected. I went to India last year. If you don't talk about spiritual warfare, they think you're weird. Okay, they think you've got some problems going on or something's happening. They live every day in terms of spiritual reality. Okay, so actually in the United States, we have to think past our culture and really dive into the Bible and understand what it's saying. Okay, so the first main mention in Scripture that we see, if you got your Bible, I know everybody has it memorized, but it's still good to read it. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Okay, the name of God referenced there, if you are a studier, in Hebrew is Elohim. And Elohim just simply means that he's the creator. Okay, and then he created everything. What's interesting is this name is actually plural. So you could put, in a way, gods there. And the reason why this is so awesome is that it gives us a picture of the Trinity. that God the Father was involved in creation, God the Son was involved in creation, and the Holy Spirit, God the Holy Spirit was involved in creation. Because you have the New Testament saying that Jesus created everything. You have the Father. It's His will that He created the world, and then you have the Holy Spirit hovering over the surface of the waters. So it's just really awesome to see, oh, that's plural, all three of them were involved in creating the world. And in essence, creating you and creating me. Okay. It's interesting to see, if you do a study on just kind of talking to people around you and they've got all their different worldviews, most people do believe in some sort of a creator. Okay. And where they get away is that, well, if there is a creator, I will have to answer to him. And they don't like that part. What if I'm doing something the Creator doesn't want me to do? I'm going to have to answer to Him. So, well, maybe there isn't a Creator. And we just kind of formed and came out of goo and all this kind of stuff. So that we try to explain away so that we can keep doing our sinful stuff. All right, we're going to talk about that later, too. So, the question comes up, well, what if I'm rejecting the creation? What if I'm rejecting myself? So if I'm rejecting myself, then it says that I will really be rejecting the Creator. And there's a good verse, if you want to do a study on that, reading Romans 9:20 is a good verse to look at. Because how can the clay tell the potter, this is how you're supposed to make me, this is the way I want it to be, I'm messed up. See, if I believe I'm messed up, I'm not going to really trust the Creator. Okay? I'm not really going to pour my heart out to Him, because I feel like, for some reason, I'm comparing myself with someone else, and I don't match the comparison. Okay. So also, within God's time, what I love about Scripture is it's not a complete... How do I say this? Okay. God does not give us every single detail of everything He has done within time. Okay. So, He is the Creator. He created angels, but He does not specifically tell us in a verse exactly when He created them. Okay, that's one of those mysteries. When you're reading your Bible, you will find mysteries, which is so awesome, because it just shows us, God, you know, I don't know. Okay, but I'm going to trust you anyway. And so we do have verses talking about how He created all the angels in heaven. And the angels have different power that God's given them that they can use. They have responsibilities. So you see, a lot of times in your Bible, you'll read how Gabriel, which was given to Mary to explain that she is going to be having a baby. Okay, it wasn't Michael the archangel that came. Okay, but it was Gabriel specifically that God said, go tell this to Mary. And he did. And completely obeyed. Just immediately. Okay? So we do see snippets of how God is interacting within Scripture from a spiritual perspective. Okay? They have responsibilities. They also have ranks. And we're not going to go a lot into that, but I will give you some other things that you could read on that as well. But God is highly organized. I can't express that enough. Supremely organized. He created everything that we see within 6 days. Okay, that is highly organized. And so all of His angels are highly organized. Okay, and if you look at the other side, when sin entered the world, and you have Satan now, and his angels, the demonic angels, they're highly organized as well. But what we're going to see, just coming up soon, is because of Jesus dying on the cross, to believers, all of His highly organized spirits on that side are all defeated. Okay? So, a lot of people will try to use this excuse that Satan made me do it. And you can't use that anymore once you take this class. I'm sorry. You know, if you want to leave, that's okay. I won't be offended. I may cry, but I won't be offended. Okay. All right, so what we're going to move into is understanding a little bit about how the enemy was created. So if you got your Bibles, we're going to look at Ezekiel chapter 28. And it's going to be 12 through 15. We may just read it as well. Okay, it says, Son of man, raise raise up a lamentation over the king of Tyre. So if we take that verse, verse 12, we compare that verse to verse 1 and 2 of the same chapter. The word of the Lord came to me, Ezekiel, son of man, say to the prince of Tyre. Okay, so he's actually comparing two different people. Right? He first starts talking about the prince of Tyre, and then when he hits verse 12, it actually goes into somebody else, calling him the king of Tyre. Okay? And say unto him, thus says the Lord, you were the signet of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. You were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering. Now, I couldn't put every precious stone on that slide, but it kind of gives you an idea of what we're looking at. Sardis, topaz, and diamond, beryl, onyx, jasper, sapphire, emerald, and carbuncle. And crafted in gold were your settings and your engravings. In the King James, the original, if you even look it up in Hebrew, the settings and your engravings is actually Hebrew musical instruments. And it calls it your tabrets and pipes were created in you the day that you were created. And we're going to talk a little bit about that. Okay. On that day that you were created, they were prepared. Verse 14, you were an anointed guardian cherub. And that's one of the classifications of angels. Cherubim. And the cherubim's part of their responsibility was to protect the glory of God. So he could have been very significant in terms of the angel ranks and how close to the presence of God he really was. Okay, so I placed you. You were on the holy mountain of God. Okay, so wow. Okay, in the midst of the stones of fire, you walked. I don't know what that means, but that's awesome. Okay, you were blameless in all your ways from the day that you were created. That is a great passage right there. Okay, so no one could ever come up with the idea that God created Satan evil. That is completely non-true, lie from the father of lies. Okay, because God can only create good, perfect things. Okay, and here it just says, he was created perfect and blameless and holy the day that he was created. So we'll just say that. Okay. Till unrighteousness was found in you, in the abundance of your trade, you were filled with violence in your midst, and you sinned. I cast you as a profane thing from the mountain of God, and I destroyed you, O guardian cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Your heart was proud because of your beauty. Okay, see these stones that you look at, when you looked at these stones, it would be almost looking at Lucifer created the perfect holy angel himself. This light came from him. Another reference is Isaiah, and it talks about how he's the morning star. That's actually his name, morning star. He's bright, he's shining, he's beautiful. Okay, and so here he's been given all these amazing abilities and things that he can do, like walking in the stones of fire. And yet here, his heart became proud. Okay, and in the passage in Isaiah, Satan says five I wills. And the last one, he says very simply, I will be like the Most High. Pretty much, I will be like God. He was so prideful that he just decided he's going to be like God. Okay, so that was the pride that he's referencing here. And all the five bills that he said. You corrupted your wisdom for the sake of your splendor. I cast you to the ground. I exposed you before kings to feast on their eyes on you. By the multitude of your iniquity and the unforgiveness of your trade, you profaned your sanctuary, so I brought fire out from your midst. It consumed you, and I turned you to ashes to the earth in the sight of all who saw you. All who know you among the peoples are appalled at you. So you have come to a dreadful end and shall be no more forever. Okay, so that's kind of an understanding of the passage that we're looking at. So Lucifer, morning star, was created beautiful through his own pride, selfish desires. He decided he wanted to be like God Most High. Most High, El Elyon, that is a specific name of God. Okay, so we've already learned two names of God. Who can tell me what those names are? Elohim. Okay, good. We got one. Who's got another one? Okay, El Elyon. Good. The answer was out there. This is an open screen test. Okay. El Elyon means God sovereignly in control. And if we reference all the names of God, this one is one that we also have a hard time with. God is in control. Okay. Because we, as prideful people, just like how Satan was prideful, we want what we want. And we want it now, for yesterday. You don't know. Okay. So we're going to talk a lot about this because God is in control. And he's the one that we're going to have to answer to. And am I submitting to Most High, El Elyon? Or am I more rejecting him? We're going to talk about that. Okay. His own pride and rebellion began in his heart. He didn't even talk to the angels and he didn't even talk to God. It was in his heart. Okay, so that gives an importance of what goes on in my heart is going to come out in my life. And that's why we have so many verses in Scripture that God searches your heart and he knows your heart. Okay, he knows what's going on the inside. Okay. Okay, so really the war began. Satan got removed from heaven. So now what he does is he deceived a third of the innumerable angels in heaven. And that talks about that Revelation 12:4. And so that's where you hear people talk about evil spirits or demons or demonic spirits or whatever. They come up with their name. Creepy spirits, all that stuff. That's where they come from. Okay. Because here, Lucifer created a perfect angel. Had God had given him the ability to choose, like he gives us. Okay? And Satan decided, I'm not going to follow him. Man, I'm going to be just like him. Okay? He wanted to be like God, in control, but not character. He wanted to be pretty much like the Most High. So he convinced a third of those angels to follow with him. Okay, Satan was cast out of heaven. We just read that part. Okay, so now what is he doing? He's not just sitting around. And a good thing to know is he is not a part of any form of the Godhead of God. Okay, it's hard to describe, but God created Lucifer, like he created us. So Lucifer cannot be every place around the world all at the same time, because that's an only God quality. So he can't be here and in China at the same time. God can, but Lucifer can't. Satan can't. Okay? So where he spends his time is going to be very particular. Where he, who he attacks. Okay? Is he here? Probably not. Okay, who are we, really? Honestly. Sorry. We're some nice people. Okay? Now, is he attacking maybe some of the presidents of the world? Maybe the president of the United States? Okay? Absolutely, he could be. Because if the president is making wrong choices or is under attack from the enemy, then he can make something that will affect the United States, can affect Canada, can affect Mexico, can affect the rest of the world. Okay. So you know that phrase that if you got to do something right, you got to do it yourself? Yeah. I don't know if it's true or not. But anyway, it's a good phrase. I just love it. Okay, so Satan is actively attacking. That's what he's doing. Satan's attacking, okay? And so he attacks two primarily groups of people. First, unbelievers, okay? And his whole goal for unbelievers is to keep them away from accepting Christ. So he's going to do everything he can to keep unbelievers away from accepting Christ. I was in the neighborhood just knocking on doors and, you know, talking to people about God. You're going to burn in hell. I did it slower, you know. Just, you start the flame, and then you add the fire. Okay. No, one guy, he was funny. He just said, oh, man, I don't believe God, and you really think that what we do here matters. Right, so you're seeing a clear picture of a person in one of the scriptures. It talks about 2 Corinthians 4:4, how the enemy blinds them from seeing the truth in the face of Christ. So, oh, I don't need Jesus. Those answers are real simple. They're being blinded, okay, from seeing Jesus. Now, when a person does accept Christ, the enemy switches how he attacks, okay? So he's got plan one, well, that didn't work, okay? God's more powerful than me, and that person accepted Christ. God was involved in their life. They accepted Christ. Now what I'm going to do is I'm going to do everything I can to keep them away from really growing and doing the will of God in their life. Okay, it was amazing. Jesus said that when he was on earth, he did everything that his Father wanted him to do. That's an amazing verse. Okay, and so God has things that he wants us to do, and so the enemy is going to try every weapon he can, okay, to keep me from doing those things. Okay, and man, I love that video. Alright, I'm visual, so during the Sunday school class, you will be getting some visual stimulation, like a video, because I'm a visual person. Okay, so just understanding that we are a new creation, Satan lies to us, deceives us, but we're a new creation in Christ. So actually what my responsibility as a believer is to replace the lies that I may have had in my life for my whole life with the truth of what God says. That this is what I'm standing on. I don't just have it memorized or know where I can find it. Oh yeah, it's in the Bible somewhere. Okay, I've like memorized it, and now I'm meditating on it. I'm trying to apply it to my life, and it's becoming a part of me. Okay? See, here's another visual. Most people, here's a little spiky thing. See, most people think that the enemy is like this little pitchfork, you know? And he's got the red tail and the horns. There's really no indication in Scripture that he changed from a beautiful, beautiful angel into this. Okay, that's more of human reasoning. Okay, why is sin so attractive? Because he's attractive. Okay, and he's going to try everything he can to dangle that beautiful bait in front of our eyes that we would eat on the sin instead of really let go of it and spend our time with God, getting to know God on a regular basis. Okay? So what we're going to look at is Satan is defeated. Okay? For believers, he's completely defeated. Okay? And that is so awesome. So I've got this ground that I can stand on, knowing that the enemy is defeated. Okay? So Hebrews 4:14 talks about how Jesus defeated the enemy at the cross. We are now more than conquerors through him who loved us. Okay, the Apostle Paul mentioned that to the Romans. Believers are rescued from the domain of darkness and transferred to the kingdom of his beloved Son. Okay, so the domain of darkness should have no power or influence over me as a believer, you as a believer. If you allow the domain of darkness to have power over you, then it will start to creep in. Absolutely. So I am responsible for my choices, and I'm responsible for what I'm thinking about. Am I taking my thoughts captive? We're talking about that. Okay. So, where is the battle? What is the battle? I mean, can I see it? So I brought some special glasses. We're working on this, that you could be able to see into the spiritual realm. They kind of look like this, so this is a prototype, beta version. You know, so just imagine if you could put on these giant, you know, special glasses. And you can see spirits flying around. I mean, it would it'd scare the daylights out of us, I think. So we decided to scratch that idea. I don't think we would have gotten many people buying it. So it's a good idea to think about, man, there's a reason why we can't see, you know, angels and demons and all this stuff flying around. You know, because when a person came in contact with the angel of God always said, don't be afraid. I mean, we'd be afraid every day. You know, brushing your teeth, and you'd be afraid. Okay, so it's so important to realize that we are in a spiritual battle. Even right now, today, tomorrow, when you wake up, it is really a battle of our mind, is what we're going through. Okay? So spiritual warfare is fought on the battle of our mind, and at as Proverbs says, as a man thinks, so is he. Okay, so I am actually becoming what I'm thinking about. And that is the man that I'm becoming. That's what I'm going to be living out in my life. Okay. So what the enemy tries to do is he tries to promote, this is not a complete list, but a good idea. He promotes strongholds. Okay, strongholds are more like evil flesh patterns. For example, I'm just a worrier. You know, it's just my mom was a worrier, my grandmother was a worrier, or I'm just a lustful person. It's just the way I am. Or I'm just stupid. You know, I can never do anything right. Okay. So those are these evil flesh patterns, and he wants to promote as many of them in our life as he can, because those are all based on lies to some degree. Okay, so lies, second thing. Since he's the father of lies, he wants me to believe things that are not true. Okay, which is reality versus non-reality. Deceptions. Deceptions often include my emotions and my feelings. I can't tell you, I wish I could tell you, how many people we've had in our office say, I feel like God doesn't love me. Okay, that's a deception. It's all based on my feelings. Okay, not necessarily truth. What does it say in Scripture? Like he loves you. Oh, what do you know? Okay, so, I mean, imagine Noah says to God, okay, God, I understand you're going to flood the world and all this kind of crazy stuff. Okay, because you're going to judge everybody. It makes perfect sense. But you know, I just don't feel like what rain's going to feel like. So I'm just going to wait. I'm going to sleep in about 120 years. And I'll just wake up and, you know, if he would have postponed to waited until he felt rain, man, we wouldn't be here today. You know, so he knew God is trustworthy. He knew God never lies. And he knew that everything from God is truthful. And we've got his truth right in front of you. God's word. So he said, I'm going to believe this truth. I don't understand, but I believe it. So I'm going to build this giant boat. Good story. Accusations. That's where he comes as a judge. And he wants me to be guilty of my past and to judge me for what I'm doing or not doing. Okay. False religions. He really promotes this one. Okay, around the world. And even here in the U.S. Okay. Trying to earn something that God's given to you. Okay. And that could be one that could be more for believers. You know, I'm trying to earn acceptance. You know, oh man, if I only teach another Sunday school class, whew, then God will really love me. You know, I'm trying to earn acceptance. And he says that I'm accepted in the beloved. It has nothing to do with me. It has everything to do with what Jesus did on the cross for me. And because of that, he's accepted me. It has nothing to do. Okay. So that gives me more of a freedom to teach Sunday school class and not teach them. Amen. Okay. This is usually what happens. This is a good visual. I have thoughts. Okay. I got my thoughts on me. Sometimes they pop in. Sometimes they're the enemy. They come in. Those thoughts become actions. Okay. Those actions can turn into habits. Regular. And habits will produce some sort of a character. So if I have a godly thought, I'll have a godly action. Let's pick a prayer. Oh man, I should pray. Thought. Good thought. Action. I'm going to start praying. Okay. I'm praying. Maybe 5 minutes, 10 minutes. Okay. Habit. Every day I'm praying. Ooh. Oh man. Ooh. Okay. Character. I'm going to start becoming a man of prayer. So it starts very basic, and then it goes all the way down to character. So as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Okay, so what we're going to look at real quickly is that we can have thoughts from God. And this is so encouraging and so awesome. So grab your Bible. We're going to look at Matthew chapter 16. Verse 16 and 17 is where it talks about it. Or to get a clear understanding. Verse 13, now Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, and he asked his disciples, who do people say that the Son of Man is? Good question. Okay. And they came and they said, Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. He said unto them, But who do you say that I am? Simon Peter replied, You are Christ, Son of the living God. Correct answer. Okay, that's important. And Jesus answered him, Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. So, where did that thought come from? We would have just assumed, man, Peter was a wise guy. He knew. And Jesus told Peter, you had no idea. God told you who it was. There's no hallelujah chorus in here. You can even look it up in Greek. It doesn't talk about hallelujah chorus or a weird warmth or a feeling where he sees angels coming down, you know, all that stuff. He had no idea that God spoke to him. And the same as Peter, God can do to you and me, and he does. Speaks truth to us. Okay. So, there are times in counseling that we've been in counseling, and we don't know what to say to our counselor. We don't know what we're missing. And all of a sudden, we get this verse that pops in that we know is true that God gives us. And it hits exactly what the area is. Exactly what they need. And it can happen to you too. Okay. So God can obviously speak. And he speaks to all of us. So when he does, it's always in the direction of obedience to the word of God. Okay, so when God speaks to us, okay, it will be truthful. That's why I said, look how important that is. It was truthful. Okay, because I'll tell you this. We've had some people call us and say, I know God spoke to us and he told me to divorce so-and-so, my husband or my wife. And we would say, I don't think that's God. He would never tell you to do that. Because he says he hates divorce. Okay, that's against Scripture. You see the importance of against Scripture, the importance of being in Scripture? Okay. It will never produce the wrong kind of fear. That's really important because a lot of people are afraid to hear from God. Okay. When I hear from God, it's a loving, getting closer to. But he may ask me to let go of things that I want to hold on to. Some sinful behaviors, some wrong attitudes, things I'm not doing, whatever it is. Okay. So that's why it always produces this closeness. It may have something to do on my part as well. Okay. It will always be pure, peaceable, gentle, open to reason. James chapter 3. That's a good passage. I didn't give it all to you. And then Hebrews 3:15, really great because it talks about when you do hear from God, do not harden your heart. So that's my responsibility. Okay, God's speaking to me. Okay, God. You know, I'm open. I'm listening. And hardening my heart is really telling God, no, I'm closing my ship and my doors, you know, of my heart to him. Okay, so thoughts from God, really important. Now, we can have our own thoughts. Okay, that come into our mind. And oftentimes, James chapter 3, 14 through 16 says, pretty much our own thoughts are towards selfish ambition and bitter envy. Have you ever noticed that when we're just kind of sitting there thinking, it's usually always negative? You know, instead of thanking God for the rain, oh, it rained last night. Now my shoes are going to get nasty and squishy. we're crazy. Okay. So, the next thing is that our thoughts are usually negative, and I am responsible, God's given us the responsibility of taking our thoughts captive. That is our responsibility. In 2 Corinthians 10:5, sorry we're not looking these up, but we're running out of time, talks about that we have to take our thoughts captive to the obedience of Christ. Okay, so some of our thoughts in general areas come from these categories in my life. My thoughts can come from my family life, my friends, the media I'm watching or reading, school, how I was trained, and church. Okay. So, when I pull out something that I've been thinking, where did that thought come from? Oh, that's what my mom did. Or that's what my mom told me, or that's what my dad told me, or didn't tell me. Okay, we had a counselee several weeks ago who never was really ever told or showed love from his parents. And he was in his, 40s maybe. Never. And he doubted so much that God was up for care for him, for being interested in him, because he was never told it. Okay? Some of us are shown love and taught love. Okay? So these next slides are going to be an example of how what I think really becomes my reality. Okay. Lady on the left. You were always the prettiest one in our class. You thought I was pretty? You snubbed me. Yeah. Okay. Well, we didn't really snub you. We were just too intimidated to speak to you because it was so pretty. I've spent 50 years trying to recover from low self-esteem because I thought you were snubbing me. Isn't that silly? You're crazy.
Yeah, that's what we said.
Okay. My entire personality has been formed around all the wrong information. 50 years she spent with this self-image, low self-image, because she thought that what they were doing, and it wasn't true. She just imagined it. And we're really good at imagining it. Okay. So that can happen to all of us. Okay, so what we want to look at also is we can also have thoughts from the enemy. Because it brings up this interesting question. Is the enemy allowed to give believers thoughts? Okay, and I'm going to give you the verses. We're not going to be able to look up all of them. But absolutely he can. Okay, we see the enemy tempting Jesus. We see the enemy with Peter, okay? And it has that famous phrase where Jesus says to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan." Okay? And because Peter said that, it says that Peter began to rebuke Jesus because Jesus said that he was going to go to the cross and die. So Peter rebukes Jesus, and then Jesus turns around and says, "Get behind me, Satan. For you're not thinking the thoughts that are towards man, or that are towards God, but you're thinking the thoughts that are of man." So the enemy can give us thoughts. A lot of people call them intruding thoughts. Okay? That I've got this thought that I can't get rid of, or that it just pops in, but that's not true. Okay? So there was a study done of Christian university students that were going through their university, high school and college. During the study, 71% of the people said that they were hearing voices, and the voices were specifically either anti-God or anti-myself. Okay, I'm so ugly. I'm stupid. I'm not going to amount to anything. God hates you. God doesn't love you. You know, if he did, things would be different. But they're hearing these voices in their head. Okay. And this didn't come out until they actually did a study at this university and school. And then in the same group, 74% believed that they were different from other people. My sins are only unique to me. You won't really understand. Yeah, I can go to counseling, but he really won't understand either, or she won't understand, because I'm so special. And Scripture tells us, there's no temptation overtaking you but such as is common to man. Oh, so we are common. Okay? There may be different areas, but we're all tempted the same way. 40% of teens who played in occultic games, and especially demonic games, were having their own thoughts of killing themselves and other people. Okay, and this is a Christian university or Christian high school that this test was said was going on. Okay, so what's our responsibility? Taking our thoughts captive. Okay, so we are told in 2 Corinthians 10:5 to take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. That is a responsibility God has given you, God has given me. If we're not doing it, we're disobeying Scripture. It's pretty simple, all right? We're told to do it. A lot of people, we want to change our feelings. I don't want to feel depressed anymore. I don't want to feel a worrier anymore. I don't want to feel angry anymore. I don't want to feel lonely anymore. I don't want to feel this and this and this and this and this. Okay? But it starts in, what am I thinking? Oh, I'm thinking I'm lonely. Oh, how's that going for you? I don't know. I'm pretty lonely. I'm sorry. I have to think this way. Okay. So it starts in thoughts, right? The thoughts are going to produce what it's producing. Okay. So if I change the thought from I'm lonely to wait a minute, I'm not alone. God's with me. God loves me, God cares for me, and that's what I'm starting to think about, then those feelings and those emotions will change. If you look at one of your handouts, it says, what is the truth? Left side gives you our old programming. Okay? I am unloved. Okay, right side tells us what is our blessing in Christ and what is really true. So really, left side of lies. Right side is truth. Right side says, I am loved. And look at all those verses. Ooh, okay? So we're going to talk about your homework. Okay, other than the three-page paper that everybody has to write, single-spaced. Okay. Oh, great. Okay, so these wrong thoughts that come into my mind can be in my marriage, can be in my work, can be in my family, can be in impatience, and the worst, the what-ifs. Okay, marriage is very strong. Okay. Secretary, or somebody I know, man, she is so nice. My wife's not that nice. What if I married that one instead of my wife? Do you see? That simple what if is one of the biggest baits that we grab. Oh, I bet she will love me. I bet this. And I'm just imagining all this stuff. And it will just keep rolling that snowball down the hill until it's overcome. That's what I'm starting to believe. Okay. That's not true. You're just making it up. No. Okay. And we know people that they did. They divorced their wife and they married their secretary. And then they asked the day after, you know, honey, would you get me some coffee? She said, I'm not your secretary. Get it yourself. And yet they assume that once I did marry her, she will be exactly what she's been the whole time. Okay. So it's these what-ifs. Very dangerous. Very, very dangerous. And the enemy loves those what-ifs. You know, what if you want $1 million and all this kind of stuff, crazy stuff? Oh, so really, temptations is where it is. And that's where it starts. My thoughts. This lady, I'm going to drive to the grocery store, but I'm not going to go inside. Okay, I'll go inside the grocery store, but I will not walk down the aisle where the Halloween candy is on sale. Okay, I will look, but I won't pick up. I will pick up, but I won't buy. Yeah, I'll buy, but not open. Okay, I'll open, but not smell it. I'll smell, but I won't touch it. Okay, I'll touch it, but I won't taste it. Okay, but I won't eat it. Yeah, that's all. And then, eat. That's a bummer. Okay. But the question to think through all those is, where did it really start? Where was your temptation? Where did it begin? It actually began at the very first slide. Why was she going to the store? Okay. And could she have gone to a different store? Like if Walmart was the one that had the Halloween candy on sale, could she have gone to Hy-Vee when there wasn't the Halloween candy on sale? You see? But when she went to the store and she said, oh, I'm going to go to the store, she knows, oh, there's probably Halloween candy on sale. Okay. So that's where I see where I'm vulnerable and I go a different route. To protect myself and, all right, all about relationship. All right, so we're going to look at the last slide, your homework assignments. Okay, this is pass or fail. Okay, taking thoughts captive during the week to the obedience of Christ. Well, that's a good thing. How do you do it? Well, in your, once again, your what is the truth paper. On the back, you'll see studies on the mind, which is really good. Talk about the first category, how the enemy attacks us. What scripture talks about different ways that we're thinking, that we can be fleshly minded, therefore are we producing fleshly results instead of spiritual results. Okay. But when my mind really is in tune with God, I will be humble, I will be willing, I will have a sound or a clear mind. That kind of stuff. Okay, so what you're going to do is you're going to read through this list and ask God, God, which one really do I need to work on? Where I am right now. Okay? So maybe it's guilt. So number 12. Okay. So I feel guilty often. So what does it say? On the right side, I'm totally forgiven. Okay? So that's good. Now, you pick one of those verses, you read them all. You pick one that really, man, that's it. That verse is awesome. That's the one I need. Okay. Then you got to memorize it. Okay. Which means reading it without the Bible. You know, that's what it's talking. So once I have it memorized, that's step one. Step two is I quote that verse to myself daily. Whenever those feelings of guilt come up, my past comes up, whatever comes up, I quote myself either Ephesians 1:7 or 2:13 or Colossians every day as I'm going throughout the day. Then I start to meditate on it. Meditating is thinking and thinking and thinking about that verse until it actually becomes a part of me. Okay, cows, they ruminate on grass. They eat the grass, they chew it, and they throw it back up. And then seconds and thirds and fourths, you know. Okay, but that grass is being broken down every time, and it's slowly becoming a part of the cow. We're supposed to do the same thing. Scripture. Okay, because we knew a guy that came, and he had memorized the whole New Testament, and he was one of the most evil people we encountered. Well, how's that possible? I mean, he memorized. We tell him to turn to a verse, and he quoted it. Okay. So that verse and that scripture was not a part of him. It was in his brain. Okay. But it wasn't in his heart, and he wasn't living it out. Okay. So until I memorized it, then I can meditate on it and think of it during the week, and you'll come back next week, and you won't be feeling guilty anymore. You'll be living out that new creation because you're changing your mind from lies, deception, accusations, guilt from the enemy to truth. Okay? That's really your homework assignment. Okay? And you've got all the notes that you can go through. So the next couple of weeks we'll be having other visuals and things that we can participate in, questions, pop quizzes maybe sometimes. So make sure you do your homework. Alright, well, I'll pray and we'll close for the day. Father, we just thank you for this day and thank you for bringing everyone here. And Father, we thank you for just the fact that the enemy is defeated in all of our lives. We may not feel like he is, but he really is. And Father, we thank you for the victory you've given us in Christ. And we just ask that you would help us to take our thoughts captive and to live out your truth this week. And Father, I just pray that you would just bless our week, that we can come back with stories next week of how you worked in our lives and you changed our old flesh patterns to being new in Christ. So Father, we want to give all the glory to you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Well,